White Rocket Entertainment.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 349.
We welcome you to Jordan Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone.
Let's watch some football. Now everybody, come on everybody.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, yo, yo. Let's watch some football.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with TheWarEagleReader.com. And the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. And by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, via Patreon.com. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, it's one of our biggest shows of the year. It's one of our two or three biggest regularly scheduled shows, as opposed to, say, if we went to the playoffs or something, you know.
Playoffs?
But it didn't work. But it's,
I heard it.
It's one of our regularly scheduled shows, which is the SEC Barbecue Preview. Now, tonight is the SEC East Barbecue Preview, and in a couple of weeks, we'll be recording the SEC West Barbecue Preview. For those that don't know how it works, as SEC football fans know, barbecue possesses certain mystical and magical qualities. One of those qualities is that John and I, every summer, about this time, late July, early August, we sit down with some fine barbecue, we look at each team in the East and then each team in the West, at their schedule, and we reveal to you, the public, what the barbecue tells us will happen this football season to all the teams in that division in terms of record. Will they be 12-0? Will they be 0-12? Will they be 6-6? The barbecue will let us know. We will let you know. And what this really is that for the whole off season, John and I keep our opinions to ourselves, and we hear all the buzz. We hear all the talk. You know, some people will be saying, oh, this is the year we're going to go undefeated. You know, other people are saying, oh, no, we're going to go like 7-5 or whatever. You and I hold back. We restrain ourselves. We don't give it away until this moment. And so tonight we will unveil our picks for the record of the seven SEC East teams. Now, one more thing I have to point out. Traditionally, but not always, but traditionally, I have tended to do some kind of a television show, movie type motif for each episode. I've done Game of Thrones, we've done Wimbledon, we've done all, I mean, once
Iron Chef.
We did Iron Chef. Oh, that was a good one, man. Here's the cue that we use. We use the various cues when we unveil. So here was the Westeros cue for the SEC West Eros. Oh, that was a good one. And then for the East, I believe I did Wimbledon last year. So there's been different ones, and I have a good one for this year for the West. But as I was just telling John before we got on the air, I've put a lot of work this week since we got home from vacation into our upcoming Auburn historical sort of documentary series, where we're going to look at modern Auburn football and being an Auburn fan during those years. And do you want me to should we go ahead and announce what the title is going to be? I don't think I've mentioned yet what the title is going to be.
I think we can save that.
We'll save that. All right, we'll save it. I'm working on, and John's been in with me. We've done 4 hours at least of discussion already for it. I've interviewed three people for it already. We've got several more to go, but I've been working on that. So what that means is I'm going to save all the time and effort for the SEC West one. And I just have a little lighthearted fun one that I put together in about 20 minutes for tonight. So you'll like it, I think, or be horribly offended, one or both. But it's not going to be a big production tonight. And what matters is the football and the barbecue anyway. So how are you feeling about getting around to finally doing the SEC East barbecue?
I'm excited because this means the season is getting closer. You can almost feel it, and it's exciting to actually talk about real football and not off-season distraction topics.
That's right. That's right. So before we introduce the SEC East barbecue segment, we got a few news items, Auburn stuff to mention. So let's dig into that a little bit. We have a new quarterback.
We do. Cord Sandberg signed with Auburn and is now on campus practicing with the team. He is one of these players who originally out of high school committed to Mississippi State, but then he got drafted to play baseball by the Phillies organization. He played in the minor leagues for years and didn't work out. Mutual parting of the ways. He signed with Auburn. So he's been out of high school like 5 years, I think, playing minor league baseball. So there's been some other players similar to this that have come through Auburn and other schools. And so that's his situation. So he signed with Auburn. He has, you know, as many years of eligibility as a regular signee, but he's an older, more mature player, and he's been playing professional baseball. So he hasn't been, you know, practicing football for years. He was a, you know, a good high school recruit when he came out years ago. He's not, even though now his name is Sandberg and he's a baseball player, he's not related to Ryan Sandberg, who was actually a coach in the Phillies organization when he came up to the Phillies organization. But it's a good move, I think. You know, what if, I think in the short term, in the long term, you know, to have another potential backup for Stidham. Gatewood's a true freshman, and he's pretty raw. We're not sure what we're going to get out of him. So that really only leaves us with, you know, Willis as the backup to Stidham. And if something happens to Stidham and Willis goes in the game, you know, if he's ineffective or he gets hurt or something else is going on, you need to have somebody else who can play quarterback. I'm not sure we would throw true freshman Gatewood into a big game. So this guy's older. He clearly, because he's played baseball, he's in good shape. He's got a good arm. So I think it's a good idea. I mean, you got Bo Nix on the horizon too as a signee, but I like it in terms of quality depth and having somebody else that can, you know, that could potentially run the offense. You know, we had issues last year where it was Stidham was the only guy at times. And so now, you know, with Sandberg, they're not worried because he's older. There's no worry about redshirting him at all. They could throw him in at the end of any game and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about it because, I mean, if we had brought in like another on top of, you know, on top of Gatewood, on top of Bo Nix coming, on top of Malik Willis, if we brought in like another 18-year-old kid that was totally raw, then I would be like, why? You know, that's great for 2021 or whatever, but it doesn't really help us immediately. Because we talked last episode about how, you know, God bless and smile upon Jarrett Stidham and his health, because we've got talent behind him, but not a lot of big game experience when it matters, you know. And so I don't know that he necessarily has any either, other than, like you say, he's just going to be older, more mature, probably more level-headed, and hopefully can absorb the playbook pretty quickly. Because right now he probably knows less than anybody, even less than Gatewood, you know.
But absolutely. Gatewood's been playing in the spread offense the last few years. So.
Yeah. But I do think it's good to have an older, kind of level-headed guy around, assuming that he is, and he's not just some crazy hothead. You know, we're making some assumptions here, but I think that's a good assumption, and it's, he's kind of an insurance policy. And who knows? I mean, you know, he might, when if he kind of plays second or third string this year, and then Stidham goes pro, he could challenge presumably Malik Willis for 2019.
Absolutely could.
Yeah.
So and either way, I think he's a good guy to have around for 2019 and this year.
Right. So. While we're talking about players, then we'll talk about other things. We have our new punter, and he's apparently killing it.
He's every practice. There's some report about our Australian punter, Aaron Sipos. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to say his last name, but he's been. There's always stories coming out of practice that he kicked 170 yards and stuff. So Supposedly people are excited about him and he's looking great. So punting has been an issue the last couple of years. We've been inconsistent and we've been, not at the top of the league in that category. And having a great punter would be really good with a really good defense. If you have a good punter, we could play field position. We could pin the other team back and stuff. And so it really, really could be an extra 10 yards. The other team has a drive every time if we get a better punt. Think about that. Against this defense, another 10 yards is a really good chance for us to stop other teams. So I think he could be a real difference maker.
Well, and even better, not only has he been good, but the word is that our punter from last year has put on extra weight, extra muscle, and is doing a lot better too. So they're apparently giving each other a good competition, and that's – you want him to improve because now you got two potentially. You want to be able to look at both of our punters and say,
"What are you? Some kind of doomsday machine, boy?"
That's what I want to hear when I hear. It's been a while since we had a punter like that. I guess Steve Clark was like that, and then the one we had back in '93, I guess Terry Daniel. Every now and then, we have a punter.
Didn't he have a nickname for Clark?
I called him Steve Steeman Clark because that's the name of the guitar player, the late Def Leppard guitar player, but I don't remember if he had another nickname. That's just what I called him. All right, so that's the punting situation. What else from spring practice, fall practice or whatever is going on that of note?
The big thing everybody's watching is the offensive line. Supposedly Mike Horton has been playing some center, and Calvin Ashley's been playing some guard, and so the graduate transfer signee Driscoll's been starting at right tackle. So potentially the starting lineup, then would have Horton, Ashley, Driscoll on one side, and Harrell and Prince Tag on the other side. So they have a scrimmage Wednesday, I guess. So we'll see. I know they want to choose a starting offensive line very quickly and move forward so those guys get a lot of reps together. That's what J.B. Grimes and Gus both want. And the only thing I'd say is that there's been a lot of positive buzz about the new young receivers, and especially, Anthony Schwartz and running back Sean Shivers have been showed a lot of speed in practice. And I know Darius Slayton said today, "I'm no longer the fastest guy on the team."
Yeah, that's good. And that's you want faster and faster and faster. That's not a problem. That's not a bad thing, right? That's good. That's very good. All right. Okay. So all that's going on. Any other news and notes before we move forward?
No, so far I think, health has been okay. And I think, people seem pretty excited. There seems to be some real positive buzz out of spring practice. That's the only thing.
Did I hear that Saban got some kind of ridiculous new contract?
Well, no. They extended him. He has 5 years, I think, on his current contract.
No. Oh.
Because people were using his – I'm going to say this again. The day that your friend, the Kansas State coach, retires,
yes,
Nick Saban will be the oldest coach in major college football or the NFL.
Well, now, Johnny, you know that I'm much more spry than Coach Saban. I think it's very unfair to mention me in the same tones is that elderly gentleman down in Tuscaloosa. As I once told General Grant, Colonel Saban will be a fine officer one day. I got to go. Excuse me.
Hey, it was an appearance by the coach. Coach, he ran through and made some comments and went out the door. We haven't had him on in a while. We got to get the coach back on here sometime. Now that the soundboard's working again, he's welcome again. He was staying away as long as he, as long as he didn't have his background music. So, a couple of things of note, a couple of AU Wishbone related events, more or less. First up, at the end of this month is Dragon Con. It's Labor Day weekend in various large hotels in downtown Atlanta. Our longtime listeners know I am a fixture there. They invite me every year, and I come down and do a bunch of panels for them and have a good time and get to see people. Now, in the past, if you'd wanted to catch up with me at Dragon Con, you had to come to one of my panels. But I have two ways now. You can easily come down and hang out, see me, and hear me, even hear me read some Auburn stuff to a crowd. One is I will be having a table in Artist Alley. I'll be table 403. So if you come to Dragon Con and you come into the Artist Alley, the big hall, you know, kind of like at Comic Con or whatever, the big hall where all the tables are and all the artists and everything, I'm table 403. Jared Albrick, our art director and inker and co-host of the James Bond shows and that we do and everything. Jared will be down a little bit further, the other end of the aisle from me. He'll be on the same aisle, I think, just further down. That's just where they stuck him this year. And so we'll both be there if you want to come and meet us and all that. Check out our wares and whatever. I'll be doing sketches. That's my new thing at conventions. I'll have, you know, all the various books. And then the other thing is on Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m., I will be doing a reading in the Marietta Room of the Hyatt Regency. And in the past, we've had a really good crowd of both my, you know, both people coming to hear me read sci-fi, fantasy, whatever, and also Auburn people. I had like 30-something, 40-something people a couple of years ago come, and about half were one and half were the other. So I kind of did half one and half the other. So if you want to come check out my stuff, hear me read from maybe Decades of Dominance or Season of Our Dreams or whatever, pick up a signed book of some kind, maybe for yourself for a gift, by all means, come out to Dragon Con. It'll be awesome. And we're still waiting, John. You say one year you're going to come.
Yes.
But not this year.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, one of these days we'll get you down there. In the meantime, I have to thank the patrons who keep us on the air. And I just want to tell you also, I realize there haven't been quite as many shows from White Rocket Entertainment in the last couple of months as usual, and there's a specific reason for that. There hasn't been an open wheel racing show, and I'm sorry about that. Alan's, I'm sure, pretty upset with me. We haven't done a number of the shows you and I wanted to do, like we were going to do favorite books and series and stuff. We're going to do a Game of Thrones kind of catch-up episode or two. But all that's kind of on hold while I get the first episode of our Auburn documentary series together, which is taking a lot of time. I'll be interviewing more people later this week. But those, just because we're not putting stuff out right now, we're still producing stuff, and it will be coming soon. And so I have to thank the following people who keep us on the air, and you can join them too, and I'll tell you how in just a moment. I got to thank Joseph Fine, Christopher Burleson, and Samuel Salvatore. Tremendous supporters, as well as Stephen Thompson, Phil Amthor of WeHaveDonuts.com, Steve Trawick, Richard Stevens, Justin Bean, and Chris Usher. Then there's David Evers, Tom Anderson, Timothy, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Steve Harlan, Andrew Barber, Jared Albrick, Rich Reimer, Bill Matthews, Will Summerford, John McCune, Catherine England, Ann Congian, Auburn Tiger Talk, Clay Henson, and Jacob and Robin Fleming. Then we have David Simpson, Josh Teal, Mike Finley, C.T. Wayne, Earl Ricks, Dave Powell, Michael Kirshner, Mick Vigicana, Matt Robbenheimer, Ward M. Wade, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, George Gaston, Tony Perry, and Alex Nguyen. And then Jason Albrick, J.W. Rice, Dave Medinas, Mark Square, Joey Miller, Matthew Wagstaff, Russell Milling, Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Brent Rumble, Nicholas Craig, Patrick Williams, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, and our one, Ben Amos, Randall Walker, Joshua Corbett, and our one-time and anonymous donors. If I left anybody out, please let me know. We thank you guys so much. They get to do fun stuff on the side. John puts together things like we'll be doing an SEC ranking voting thing during the season. We do March Madness. We do all sorts of stuff. You also will get to hear all of our patrons will get to hear our upcoming documentary, Auburn show, well before it goes out to the War Eagle reader and then to the public. So all you have to do to be a part of the AU Wishbone family and help us out and have your name included in the roster of the Hall of Fame is go to auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com, and there's a link, and it sets you up, and you can, for as little as a dollar a month. I'll leave it at that because you guys have been really good and kind of jumping back on board. We lose people every month, but we gain people every month. So it's been kind of holding steady, and we thank you for that, especially during the off season, because I know in the off season we're not doing as many shows. So we really appreciate your support while we're working on the big documentary. Okay, let's move on. Are you ready, John? Are you ready for the SEC East?
I am ready.
Jones barbecue and foot massage. Jones barbecue and foot massage.
Excuse me, did you call number 52?
Did you hear me call number 52?
Our barbecue tonight is, at least on the show, sponsored by
Jones barbecue and foot massage.
Okay, so it's actually our barbecue tonight, at least my barbecue tonight, is from Bully's in Columbia, Illinois, over near the river, over on our side of the river from St. Louis. Bully's barbecue. Who are you having tonight, John?
I'm having some homemade barbecue chicken. Since it's the East, I thought chicken was appropriate.
It is.
I know I have already lined up for the West preview. There is a place in Richmond that makes that actually is a Texas-style barbecue place that's really good called ZZQ. Ooh. And I went there recently, and it was excelente. So I'm going to bring some of that home that day.
I like it. When we were coming up through Alabama, you know, all we have up here in the frozen north is Lay's potato chips. So my wife's, every time we go down there, she's like, oh, there's that golden flake thing. I mean, you mean like actual potato chips, not these Yankee potato chips. So she bought a bag of tangy pickle barbecue flavored potato chips. And we've kept them the last couple of days. All right, so I got them. And I could have just stopped there and had pickled barbecue golden flake as my barbecue. That's really good. But I do have the Bully's here. So, we're going to go in alphabetical order, correct?
We are.
All right. So, first up, this is how this works. We will name the team. And we will go to the barbecue. We will tell what it tastes like. And then we will give our analysis. And then finally, the number. So, let's go to Florida first. Florida, we will now try your barbecue.
Jones barbecue and foot massage. Jones barbecue and foot massage.
Excuse me, did you call number 52?
We'll fry anything you want for $5.99. As long as it's friable or edible, we're going to make it deliciousable.
I thought you'd enjoy our background music tonight.
I'm tasting a little bit of disappointment and a little bit of rebirth.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm tasting a lot of cut off blue jean shorts and big bleached hair and a lot of big handlebar mustaches and Camaros. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I really want one. I'm seeing Dan Mullen's face in the barbecue. Is there a reason I should see Dan Mullen? Isn't he the Mississippi State coach? John, why am I seeing Dan Mullen's face?
He's the Florida coach now.
He's the Florida coach now. Wow. Okay, that's just going to be weird. I know he was the assistant there for a while, but still, I see him, I think, Mississippi State. And by the way,
it is going to be weird.
It took like 3 years for me to see him and see Mississippi State because he just did not really fit there. But he did a good job, you know. He did a darn good job there, don't you think?
He did.
Yeah. He's not bad. How nervous? Well, let me put it this way. Are you more worried to see him at Florida where he might do well, or are you more happy to see him gone from Mississippi State?
That's a good question. I mean, I want Florida to be better.
Yeah.
Because they're an every year opponent for Georgia and LSU.
Yes.
And
that's the next
one. I mean, I think I like Moorhead, the guy at Mississippi State hired a lot, and we'll talk about that the next show. But I want Florida to be better, so I'm happy they hired him.
That's an excellent point. It's not just that we need somebody to beat Georgia's brains in regularly, like Florida always has done when they're even halfway decent. Having a team that can put LSU down occasionally really works to our advantage, because there will be years, it may not be immediately, but there will be years when, you know, if Alabama has a bad year, and they have a bad year every few years, there'll be a year when we're really good, Alabama's, you know, a game behind or something, and LSU is our competition, and a loss to Florida could put us in Atlanta. I mean, that absolutely could happen.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's a huge disadvantage for us playing Georgia every year when Alabama's playing Tennessee and they're terrible, and LSU's right. playing Florida and they're terrible.
That's right. That's exactly right. So we need some balance in the East to go along with the balance in the West. All right. I'm going to go ahead and assume that their opening game that's against Charleston Southern will be canceled because of a hurricane. I mean, it may be that Vinny Testaverde drives too close to the stadium and they cancel the game, but for some reason a hurricane will cancel that game. But I'm going to go ahead and count it as a win anyway, just in case on the off chance they get to play it. Florida's first game getting canceled by a hurricane is about as reliable as Pat Dye getting a tie against Tennessee. It doesn't happen every year, but it happens often enough that it seems kind of weird. You know what I mean? It's weird to think that when Florida plays South Carolina, South Carolina would be like the clear favorite, but that could happen. It doesn't happen very often. I mean, I'll put it this way. South Carolina will give them a game every other year, but it's rare when South Carolina is the clear favorite. Do you think that'll be the case this year? I guess it'll depend on how Florida starts the season, won't it?
It's in Gainesville, so it does depend on how Florida's offense is, I think. But
yeah.
Probably.
It's weird to think that Florida's big problem is offense. I mean, that was their calling card forever.
And they didn't care about defense, but they've become a consistently excellent defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, Dan Mullen brought Todd Grantham with him as the defensive coordinator, and he's, you know, kind of hit or miss. I think Mullen will make the offense better. They have a lot of young returning talent back. I mean, they have a lot of offensive line experience. They got running backs back. They have a couple potential quarterbacks. Felipe Franks played last year. They have a guy coming in named Emory Jones. They have some other options. So I think Mullen, based on his track record, will figure it out. And while they're figuring it out, they'll run the ball well and play good defense. They played a ton of young guys on defense last year, and there was a period where they gave up a bunch of big plays. But to me, Florida, there's a couple of teams in the East, Florida and Tennessee, and we'll talk about Tennessee later, but they both, at one point, their coaches were both dead men walking. Mm-hmm. And it was a kind of an Auburn 2012 scenario where the team lost heart and hope and didn't believe in the coach's game plan and all that stuff. And so they didn't play to their potential. And I think I'm not saying they're going to be great, but they have enough talent and decent coaches to be good.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We were at Pineapple Willie's in Panama City last week, and up on the big screen, they had Florida-Tennessee game from last year. And I couldn't remember who won. And, you know, at one point, Florida would have been ahead like 20-something points. They had a touchdown call back, and then Tennessee came back and almost went to overtime. And then, like, 2 days later, we were in another place, and it was on again. So everywhere I went in Florida last week, I was seeing Florida-Tennessee. And it was weird, too, because it was when Spanky was still the Florida coach. And so
McElwain.
McElwain, yeah. So it's going to be weird. That's another thing about changing their coaches. I was looking at their schedule, and, you know, of course, they always end with Florida State, and that's going to be a totally unpredictable game because Florida State has a new coach too.
Mm-hmm.
So you really don't know what's going to happen toward the end of this schedule. But anyway, let's unveil it. I see they always beat Kentucky. They will give them the hurricane win over Charleston Southern. I think they'll beat Colorado State just because they're Florida. I think they'll beat Tennessee because they're on a slightly faster improvement program than Tennessee. Florida could start 4-0. Then they got to go to Mississippi State, and they're not going to win that. And they got to play LSU. That's a toss-up game to me. Florida versus LSU in Gainesville. LSU, I think, has a slight edge, but in Gainesville gives Florida a little bit of an even. I would, if I were a betting man, I would rank that game as a push right now. And then you got to figure they beat Vanderbilt, lose to Georgia, although they should always beat Georgia. Some of the other games, I'm not so sure. And we're not going to go game by game for everybody, but I'm just going to say when I look at it, I get 7-5. What do you think?
I think they'll be a little better than that. I'm thinking 8-4.
Okay.
In best case scenario, the offense clicks, they go 9-3. Wow. Here's what I wanted to point out. Here's their road games, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Their SEC road games are Mississippi State,
Tennessee,
and Vanderbilt. That's it. Because this is the year the Georgia neutral site is a road game. So they play three SEC road games, Vanderbilt, who's terrible, Tennessee, who's terrible, and Mississippi State, which would be tough.
Yeah.
And then they have to play at Florida State. But, again, like you said, that's a who knows game.
Who knows? It's not even a push. That's just a total mystery game right now. So,
yeah.
So I'm basically saying that Mississippi State will beat them, Georgia will beat them, South Carolina will beat them, and then two more out of Florida State, Missouri, LSU, Tennessee. Two out of those four will get them, and two won't. So 7-5 is where I have them. But I can see them doing better. I can see them doing worse. We'll see. All right. So Florida, we got somewhere between 7-5, 8-4, something like that. Maybe even 9-3. Next up are the Hush Puppies. Let me see here.
Joe's Barbecue and Foot Massage. Joe's Barbecue and Foot Massage.
Excuse me, did you call number 52?
Did you hear me call number 52? We'll fry anything you want for $5.99. As long as it's friable or edible, we're going to make it deliciousable.
These chips are working with the barbecue very well.
Well, we don't even need to say this, but you know this already. We hate Georgia.
We do. Oh, Lord,
and
yes.
The barbecue tastes really good, but, man, I hate Georgia.
I do.
It tastes pretty good, though. It tastes like pretty solid.
Remember the time you told me that Georgia's quarterback wasn't going to be any good, and I said,
"You lied to me. Release the hounds."
Well, the guy I thought was no good was the other guy, Eason, and he got hurt and Fromm replaced him. I think if Eason had played all last year, Georgia wouldn't have had that success. So Eason's gone and transferred to Washington, and now Georgia signed Justin Field, and they're going to have their own quarterback controversy thing. So,
well, when I said that, I
don't have facts to back this up.
I just was saying it. So, Georgia, you know, you'd think that they'd drop at least one or two or even three games. But when I look at their schedule, John, they could go undefeated depending on how the chips fall. They could. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's my prediction. I'm just, in our pre-numbers analysis, I'm saying that there is a path. There is a path to undefeated Georgia. What do you think?
They're going to be the best team in the East. It's clear, I think. I mean, they have a lot of returning talent. They've lost a lot on defense. They lost Roquan Smith, a linebacker that was so good, and a lot of other defensive players who are very solid, steady players. So I don't think their defense is going to be quite as good. They lost both running backs, Chubb and Michelle. They lost the big wide receiver, Wims, who, you know, made that like the first catch of the game against us in Auburn that when they played there. So they got some guys that replaced, but they got Fromm. You know, they got your favorite wide receiver, Terry Godwin, still there.
You know, I'm hoping he chooses between Georgia and Auburn soon.
I hope so.
AL.com told me for 2 years that his decision was imminent. He'd been playing for Georgia 2 years when AL.com was telling us all that his decision was imminent.
The biggest, like, they, so they have, but they have, where they're replacing guys, they have several straight, like, top three recruiting classes, basically.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of depth and talent. Mm. You know, I think the East being terrible really kind of broke their way last year. And I think the East teams are going to be better this year and going forward and down the road. That's going to present problems for them. It's not going to be this runaway freight train every year. But in the short term, you're right. I think, you know, the defense is going to be quite as good. I think they're not going to be quite as good at running the ball as they were last year. But Fromm is still very good. They have a really good backup for him now. And, you know, the, like you said, the toughest road game they have is, like, you know, at LSU.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to spoil anything for next week, but I'm not very optimistic about LSU right this minute. So I'm not very happy about this. You know, we play in Athens, they play Florida in the neutral site game. So I think Georgia's, you know, in really good shape. Their schedule is not bad. Expectations are going to be a problem, of course. I think, you know, they think they should going to show up and blow everybody out of the stadium every game. And I think as the East teams, you know, particularly, I think, like I said, I think Florida and Tennessee are going to be not lifeless corpses like they were last year. That those games will be better. But I think there's a real danger that Georgia has another excellent year.
Yeah. So. Has there ever been a game that you can think of where everybody, the media, the fans of other programs, everybody united was putting all their hopes on one team and one game the way everybody is about Georgia playing South Carolina on September the 8th? It's like the whole country, the whole South, the reporters, the analysts, the fans, everybody's like, oh, there's that South Carolina game on September 8th, you know? It's so funny. It's like the monster's coming. You're at your little city, and it doesn't have walls or anything. The city's unprotected, and the monster's crawled out of the ocean and is coming to destroy the city. And there's this one soldier standing there between the monster and the city, and everybody in the whole city is like, oh, there's that one guy, you know, that's going to save us. Everybody's looking at South Carolina like they're the savior. And I think if South Carolina is our last best hope, then I only ask the question,
what the hell is the world coming to?
It just isn't right. South Carolina should not be your last best hope to stop the monster.
They are not the last best hope to stop the monster, because the last best hope to stop the monster is the team that beat them last year.
We'll get to that next episode, but yes, we'll see. All right, so think about this. You mentioned their away schedule, which is ridiculous. They go to South Carolina, I believe. They go to LSU. Is that correct? I think that's right.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, but otherwise, LSU's probably going to be down, as you suggested. Florida is not what they used to be. They get Auburn in Athens, which used to mean a guaranteed win for Auburn, but that kind of has gone out the window the last few years. Even Georgia Tech isn't that great lately. So,
and that's in Athens. The only other tough game they have is in that rockin' stadium in Columbia, Missouri.
Oh, good Lord. I'm really worried about them going to Missouri, said nobody ever. I've got to say, even though they got some name brands on the schedule, it's really not much. But I feel like Georgia is still going to Georgia. And so I can't pull the trigger on undefeated. I'm going to go 11-1.
Excuse me, did you call number 52?
I called number 11-1.
I'm going to say 10-2 or 11-1. Everything broke their way last year, and it's not going to break. They're still going to win the East.
Oh, yeah.
But everything broke their way last year. It's not going to break their way every game this year.
I prefer your forecast to mine. I prefer yours to mine. All right, let's see. Next up is the Kentucky Mildcats. And let us once again go to
Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage.
Excuse me, did you call number 52?
Did you hear me call number 52? We'll fry anything you want for $5.99. As long as it's friable or edible, we're going to make it deliciousable.
Hmm. Kentucky. It's still tasty after all these years, John.
Tastes like mediocrity.
Mm-hmm. Tastes like a hot dog in a basketball arena at midnight. Hmm. By the way, these are good chips. I got to save some for my wife. I don't normally eat barbecue chips with barbecue. But it works. So, Kentucky. Kentucky has over... They went, 7-5 the last couple of years, I think.
Yep.
And they have the talent. But there are some games on that schedule that are just mysteries and that could swing either way. They end with Louisville, and you never know how that game's going to go. They've got Texas A&M. And by the way, you know, with a 14-team league, I've said before, are you really even a conference when you only play some of the teams once every, 12 years or something? Have you ever seen Kentucky and Texas A&M on the same field at the same time ever before? I don't remember it.
No.
They play Missouri, and we really don't know if Missouri's going to be the second half of the season Missouri or the one that we blew out of the water. Auburn beat Missouri so bad, they had to repave the road so I could go home after the game. They tore them apart. And then, of course, Tennessee, and we don't know what to make of that. So it's really hard for me to project Kentucky numbers-wise just because, on the one hand, they have been on the upswing. But on the other hand, so many of their games are just such mysteries.
Well, I think they're good enough that many of the games against kind of the middle tier SEC teams are going to be close.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled out some close wins the last couple of years. I mean, they won 4 SEC games last year.
Yeah.
The only team in the East that won more were Georgia and South Carolina. So, they have a lot back on defense. The defense was just okay. The schedule, like you said, it's not terrible. They get A&M and Mississippi State out of the West. Georgia's going to be tough. Florida owns them, even when Florida's down.
Exactly.
But you look around the rest of the East, and Vanderbilt's kind of blah. Tennessee's kind of blah. Louisville's, on a little bit of a downswing after losing the Heisman quarterback. So I want to point out that Kentucky's quarterback this coming season may be a guy named Gunnar Hoke, which I thought sounded like a really bad fantasy or science fiction character.
Yeah.
It'll either be him or a JUCO signee from Oregon named Terry Wilson. Either way, they're back to being the same kind of team. I think they're good enough to be competitive, but not good enough to win. So I'm thinking, 6-ish wins, 5-6.
Yeah, that's exactly. I feel like they could be as good as they were last year, but like you said, they've got Florida who owns them. They play Mississippi State. They're not going to win that unless something crazy happens. Now, they do have Mississippi State and South Carolina at home, but still, that's 3 losses right there. They go to Texas A&M. That'll be tough. And they've got Georgia, and they have to go to Missouri and to Tennessee and to Louisville. So the schedule doesn't do them any favors. It's kind of a mystery. I'm going to go 5-7. And, it's one of those years where 5-7 is not really any worse than 7-5 was last year. So.
Van, Randall Cobb is not walking through that door.
Oh, no.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. K Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
Blame yourself.
Randall Cobb is not walking through that door. And so I think the 5 to 6 wins is where they are.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I think 6 is even ambitious. But like I say, I think that winning 5 games this year is not a tremendous setback compared to the last 2 years where they won 7 because of the schedule. I mean, it's kind of like with Auburn this year. Auburn, you know, who knows? And I'm not making any predictions yet, but I'm just saying, you know, Auburn could have fewer wins this year than we had last year and play better just because of our schedule. So it's the same kind of thing. All right, so that's, let's see, we've done Florida, we've done Georgia, we've done Kentucky. It is time to look at the team closest to me geographically now, the team that I want Auburn to play every year if possible, and that would be the Missouri Tigers.
Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage! Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage!
Excuse me, did you call number 52?
Did you hear me call number 52? We'll fry anything you want for $5.99. As long as it's friable or edible, we're going to make it deliciousable. If it fit through the dough, I'll put it in the fryer. Hell, this is a diner.
Sorry, I hit the extra little one there. I didn't have time before the show to get all 9 of my clips loaded in the machine, so I have a few extras like, let me see.
If it fit through the dough, I'll put it in the fryer. Hell, this is a diner.
It tastes to me like schizophrenia.
Yeah. It really does. I mean, starts bad and gets better as you go.
Mm-hmm.
I got to have a few more chips to wash it down.
A little bit of spice to it.
Well, that's a lock. Oh. I'm getting there. This is another case of a mediocre team receiving the benefits of a weak schedule. Because, yeah, they play Georgia, they play South Carolina, they play Alabama, they play Kentucky, Florida, Tennessee. They do. But listen to this schedule. Okay, UT Martin, Wyoming, Purdue.
Now, I want to back up. Before you go all crazy, this is the toughest schedule in the East.
Well, okay, it's not terrible, but I'm just saying, UT Martin, Wyoming, Purdue, Memphis, Vanderbilt, Arkansas in Columbia. So that's 6 imminently winnable games just to start. They've got more.
Absolutely not. Right. Purdue and Memphis are both as good as them.
Okay.
This is a case that they, in my mind, they kind of stupidly overscheduled a little bit. I'm sure when they scheduled Purdue, they were still terrible, but now they're on the upswing where they hire Brohm, and Memphis is talented and dangerous. I wouldn't want to play Memphis in a non-conference game.
Yeah.
And they have to play at Alabama. Mm. You want to hear the best part about Missouri?
Yes.
New offensive coordinator, Derek Dooley.
Derek Dooley, that's right. And don't they have a new defensive coordinator too, maybe, or something?
No, he replaced the defensive coordinator after a game or two last year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of took over play calling on defense.
Probably after our game with him.
Yeah, somewhere in there. So, like you said, they were terrible at the beginning of the year. They were really hot at the end of the year. They had the big quarterback, Drew Locke, coming back. So their offense is going to be really explosive again. And, you know, but the guy that was the coordinator left and is the head coach of Central Florida.
Yeah.
Replacing Scott Frost. You know, can Dooley, you know, get the offense moving the way it was at the end of the year? And, you know, I think they have a good number of starters coming in production coming back. They have a good amount of offensive line experience, and they got the quarterback. I really think they, you know, they're going to be one of these teams that's dangerous. I mean, they're probably going to lose some games. Maybe they'll lose some of these non-conference games. You know, maybe they'll lose to, you know, somebody in the East they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. But I also think they're going to be a team when they are hot and they're on, they could beat anybody in the East, including Georgia, on their best day. So I think, wow. I mean, having a really good quarterback gives you the ability. I mean, they could just get into a shootout with people and, win games maybe they shouldn't.
Okay. Well, you're a little higher on than I am. I'm going to say 7-5. Excuse me, 7-5.
I'm going to say I'm going to say 8-4.
Okay. Now, see, I started out with an 8-4, and you talked me down to 7-5, and now you're jumping up to 8-4. What? You tricked me.
I mean, we haven't got there yet, but like we talked about Florida, I think Missouri is in the same tier with Florida and South Carolina.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I think they're in that group. The tier below Georgia is those three teams to me.
Ooh, interesting. Interesting. Okay. All right. Let's see. We got three more to go. So let's go look at those butt-kicking chickens. And did we call for number 5?
Excuse me, did you call number 52?
Did you hear me call number 52? We'll fry anything you want for $5.99. As long as it's friable or edible, we're going to make it deliciousable. Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage.
Well, it does taste like pulled chicken. No matter what meat you're actually eating, it's going to taste like pulled chicken. I appreciate that about South Carolina. They give us a fine edible mascot. Not enough teams have edible mascots, I think. So, I like this is like the one show in the West, the one show every year that it's expected that we'll be talking with our mouth full. Nobody can complain.
It tastes pretty good.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I'm calling them the Thunder Nuggets. I have dubbed South Carolina the Thunder Nuggets for 2018 because I think they have at least 10 games that are winnable. Who'd have thunk?
Wow.
I'm not saying they're going to win 10, but they've got 10 that they could win. I think they got two that it's not going to happen. I think Clemson and Georgia. Oh, well, maybe Georgia, maybe not. I just can't get down with these people that are like, you know, we talked about it a while ago. I can't see South Carolina. I feel like it's wishful thinking that South Carolina is supposed to beat Georgia. I mean, maybe it'll happen. It'd be awesome. I agree with them that I want it to happen. I just feel like it's a little wishful thinking to expect it to happen. And so I can't go there. But I think that they're going to lose to Clemson. And I think they're going to lose at least two other games. I've got the Thunder Nuggets at 9-3, but with upside potential.
I like your call. I'm there. I'm going to say I like 9-3 as well.
All right.
I think they have the easiest schedule in the East, despite Georgia and Clemson on it.
Yeah.
You know, their West road game is at Ole Miss, which is the one you want.
Yeah.
They have a lot of talent back. They got Bentley, the quarterback, back. They get Debo Samuel, the wide receiver kick returner, back, who got hurt at the beginning of last year. He adds a big dimension to their offense they missed last year. And I think if he stays healthy, you know, with Bentley, they have a lot coming back on defense. Then you're talking about a team that's really dangerous. If they have a guy that's kind of a game breaker, a kick returner, and a kind of a downfield receiver,
yeah,
everything kind of changes for them. And then I think I could really see the 9-3 happening.
Yeah.
And with potential to beat some of those other teams. They get A&M at home. That'll be a tough game.
But doable. You know, I think, but they have a shot in it. They got a puncher's chance in it, I think.
Same thing. And like you said, then at Gainesville, for years you'd say they had no chance, but this year you got to think they got a pretty good shot at that game. So,
So yeah, I think they're 9-3, but with upside. All right.
93, but a dangerous team, like you said. I mean, they, you know, calling them to beat Georgia right away is crazy, but
right, yeah, it's just wishful thinking. It's people want Georgia to lose, and that's one of the best opportunities. It just doesn't mean it's necessarily a likelihood. It just means it's a good opportunity.
I'm wishing that thinking too, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Yeah. Thunder Nuggets. All right. Two to go. Five down, two to go. Let's climb up on Rocky Top. Did I call Rocky Top?
Excuse me. Did you call number 52?
Did you hear me call number 52? Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. So, friends, let's just decide you don't want no barbecue. Well, that's fine. We'll fry anything you want for $5.99. As long as it's friable or edible, we're going to make it deliciousable.
Well, this, Tennessee.
This is terrible.
It's not the... So basically, they would fry anything, and they fried something that like an old hound dog. Old blue tick hound.
I think it was that coonskin cat, maybe.
They fried up the coonskin. They smoked the coonskin cap. They're going to get smoked a lot this year, I'm afraid. What do you think about the coach, though? I mean, he's a good defensive coordinator. Can he get them going sooner or later?
I think so. They basically pulled off the coaching trade.
Yeah.
Pruitt went to Tennessee, and Butch Jones is now an analyst in Nick Saban's wayward coaches rehab program. I think Pruitt is a schmuck as a human being, but I think he could be a solid coach. He's certainly, I think, going to be a breath of fresh air from the kind of insanity that at times marked the Butch Jones tenure there.
The nonsense.
The crazy things he said and the kind of the poor game management and stuff. I mean, I don't think they have a ton of talent. But I think they're going to play hard and all go in the same direction. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which they really haven't had the last 2 years.
No.
The problem for them is, I think this is a much less talented team than the one they had a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And they got, they got to play Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, and they got to play West Virginia in a neutral site game to start the year. Mm-hmm. And everybody else in the East is getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, they won zero SEC wins last year. Oof. Zero.
Oh, my goodness.
Quarterback, they either got this guy, Jared Gartano, who started last year and was kind of mediocre, or they have a grad transfer from Stanford named Keller Christ.
So
who was not great there.
So their quarterback's options are either the former governor of Florida, Charlie Crist, I think you just said, or this other quarterback, Harold and Kumar, escaped from Guantanamo Bay.
That's it.
That's an interesting pair of quarterbacks. Well, we always talk about, every year at this time, we talk about how Tennessee always has that front-loaded schedule. Right, they tend to, if they're going to lose, they tend to lose early and then close strong because they close usually with the easiest teams on their. They start with the harder SEC West teams and their harder teams in their division, and they usually close with like Kentucky, Vanderbilt, those guys. But when they're down, even the back end gets hard. You know what I mean? And so
it's their middle stretch that's killer this year.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying is there's no let up. They don't have that glide path to victory that they usually have because they've even got Missouri and Kentucky and Vanderbilt who've given them a fit the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So they're going to start 2-1, but I think 2-1 is as good as it's ever going to be the entire year. They get this. They back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back. They play Florida, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, South Carolina. And of course, the bye week is before Auburn. Florida, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, South Carolina. My goodness. Even if Florida's not that great, I mean, that's still, you're playing Florida, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, South Carolina.
Even if this was a top 20 team, that would be a bad stretch. And this is far from a top 20
team. Right. And, you know, they don't return many starters, but I'm just asking, in this case, maybe that's a blessing in disguise. Do you want those starters back?
They had some good players, and they have some good players coming back, but there's some positions where they're going to be hurting. I don't know if they have a quarterback.
Yeah.
They don't have any they have good safeties, but bad cornerbacks. So that's a problem when you can't cover people.
Yeah.
You know, when they match up against teams like Auburn or Missouri, you know, or South Carolina, that's going to be a real problem for them. So I think Pruitt in the long run is going to make them competitive again. I don't know if he'll make them, you know, like win the East good, but I think he'll make them competitive. In the short term, they're going to be bad again. So, I mean, you looked at the schedule. I'm saying, like, 4-8.
Here's just an oddity, completely unrelated to anything for the moment, but I just got to point this out because I'll never notice it again. I just happened to look down and realized Texas A&M plays a home game against Kentucky on October 6th. Guess when is the next time A&M plays a home game after October 6th?
I don't know.
November the 10th against Ole Miss. They go, after they play Kentucky in College Station, they go to South Carolina, have a bye week, go to Mississippi State, go to Auburn. They go 4 Saturdays in a row without playing at home. That's crazy. I've never heard of that. I can't remember that ever happening with us. 4, like a whole month plus. That's just nuts. I don't know. All right, so did we give a number on it? I'm going to put a number on it.
I said 4-8.
I think that they'll be improved a little bit, but they'll still only be 5-7.
Okay.
All right. And then last and probably least, the Vanderbilt comma snores.
Jones barbecue and foot massage. Jones barbecue and foot massage. So, friends, let's just decide you don't want no barbecue. Well, that's fine. We'll fry anything you want for $5.99. As long as it's fryable or edible, we're going to make it deliciousable.
Hmm. Well, if this was the chicken, I would say we've gotten to the white meat.
Tastes like good graduate school entry scores.
Tastes like victory. Yeah,
you know, not it tastes kind of mediocre, like traditional disappointment, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think they built Vanderbilt up to be, you know, similar to the way we talked about Kentucky, where they're competitive in the East now. They can win some close games, but they're never going to be, especially against the good teams, they're never going to be good enough. So, I mean, I feel like they're in that tier with Kentucky where there's decent. And the East being bad the last couple of years has kind of allowed them to do some stuff. But I think the teams in the East are on the rebound, and it's going to be a real problem for them. So
I wanted to get them to 5 wins. I can't even get them to 4. I'm looking for wins in all the wrong places. And all the wrong places is the Vanderbilt schedule. I mean, they could start 2-0, but MTSU and Nevada are not, you know, pushovers when you're Vanderbilt. Then they got to go to Notre Dame, and they got South Carolina. They got to win over Tennessee State, hopefully for them. Then they got Georgia, Florida, Kentucky, Arkansas. And Arkansas is a possibility. And then they conclude with Missouri, Ole Miss, and Tennessee. So there's a couple of winnable games in there, but honestly, I got 3-9.
I'm going to say 5-7.
Wow. All right, I'm more down on the Doors.
I mean, I think they're going to beat Tennessee. Ole Miss isn't home; they maybe could beat them again. Like you said, Arkansas will be kind of a toss-up game, and then like they can beat Middle Tennessee and Nevada at the beginning. They have a road game at Notre Dame, where they'll be carrying the honor of the entire conference up there to get the crud beat out of them.
Good gosh, I didn't even think about that. Can we just pretend we don't know them? It's kind of like we, oh, Vanderbilt. Yeah, oh yeah, they used to be in the SEC many years ago, alongside Suwannee, yes, but no, they're no longer.
Headlines now, Notre Dame beats SEC team.
And I say you!
That's what they'll say. You're exactly right, yeah. Oh, man. They're going to, the Notre Dame press will conclude after the game. Clearly the SEC is putting far too much emphasis on academics these days. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, I got 3-9. You got what? 5-7?
Yep.
Wow. All right. All right. I don't know, but we'll see. That means we only have one segment left tonight, and that means I push this button first.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
You like I kind of added a little bit to spice it up?
I like it.
Yeah, it's a two-step process, though, so I'll probably forget in the future. I'll forget to push both buttons, but I remembered this time. So, what do we have from the masses of listeners this week, John?
All right, first question from Rusty Owens. He says, what do you think about what we're hearing about the punter position? Will it be Marshall or the Thunder from Down Under?
Well, we talked about that a little bit, but yeah, I mean, it has sounded like Marshall is better, and so we actually have a competition. So I think that, I mean, don't you kind of have to hope that the guy you brought in from Australia with a scholarship beats out the walk-on that averaged 39 yards last year, or do you want the underdog kid to beat out the old foreigner and win his job back?
I'm really excited to have an Australian punter, so I'd say he gets the job and has a great season. I'm all in on the Australian punter.
You know that most sports writers are a lazy and shiftless bunch, and they're gonna go with the easiest. You know, they always are gonna go with the easiest approach. So think of all the shrimp on the Barbie, Crocodile Dundee jokes we're gonna get over and over, and that's just from me. You know I'm going to be mining YouTube for Crocodile Dundee quotes if he wins out. So you all better hope that Marshall keeps the job so you don't have to listen to that on a routine basis for the next 12 weeks of the season. All right, what else we got?
It's from Tom Anderson, who says to John Van, who do you think scores the first touchdown of the season and how? Mm. And who scores the first touchdown in SEC play now?
Ooh, so first Auburn and then in overall?
Well, first TD of the season in any game and then first TD in an SEC game.
I'm going to say I don't know who plays on like the Thursday night of the season.
For Auburn. I'm sorry.
Oh.
First touchdown for Auburn.
Okay.
In the Washington game, theoretically, and then first touchdown in the first home SEC game.
I'm gonna say
the LSU game. Sorry.
I'm gonna say that Stidham throws a touchdown pass to maybe Darius Slayton.
Okay.
Against Washington. And you said what was the other one, the other game?
The other one would be like against LSU, the first SEC game. Who scores in that game?
LSU's our first SEC game?
I believe so.
What the hell is the world coming to? And that's nothing but pure and simple old-fashioned communism.
That's what I say. Well,
we play Washington, then we have Alabama State at home, and then LSU is our home opener, our home SEC opener.
Wow. One of our running backs. I guess I'll say Booby.
I'm going to say
just because it's fun to say Booby and not be in trouble. Because
I'm
going to
say Cam Martin for the for the first TD of the season, runs one in, and then I'm going to say against LSU is going to be Jared Stidham on a keeper.
Oh, I like it. All right, as long as he doesn't get hurt.
That's it.
Very good.
It's going to be one of those, like, he fakes it to the running back and then he walks to the end zone kind of plays.
Gotcha.
Next question is from Cedric Asher, who says, Hey, Wishbone, respecting War Eagle. My question for you guys is, with the speed we have on offense this season and the return of Coach Grimes, will we see the hurry-up tempo this year?
Oh. Oh. I wish. That's what I want to see, you know? That's what I... Every year, though, every year, Gus tells us we're going to go back to going fast, and every year...
You lied to me.
And so we go slower, you know? So I don't know what to think about that. I want to go fast, but I don't know.
All right. Next question's from Andy Frame, and he asks,
do you think we'll go fast? You didn't answer.
I think we'll go, it's going to be the same kind of thing as last year. We'll go fast at times. I think having an experienced quarterback will give them more confidence to go fast.
All right.
But I think because our defense is so good that we are not going to go fast unless we really are doing it to take advantage of another team. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We're not going to just do it to do it.
To do it, right. All right.
All right. Next question is from Andy Frame. And he says, I haven't heard much about Noah Igbinyani this year. With Eli Stove hurt, he seems like he'd be the likely jet sweep replacement.
Mm-mm. He's playing DB, no, isn't he?
He is, and he's supposedly starting at cornerback.
Yeah.
Jamal Dean is going to be the other starter cornerback. But so now, Igbinyani has looked really good. He's looked very natural when he came over to defense. I think the jet sweep guys are going to be, number one, Devin Barrett. I think he's going to be the Stove replacement in terms of like short passes as a receiver and the end around guy.
Yeah.
And also, I think we may see the speedster freshman, Sean Shivers, the running back, the little guy.
Yep.
Seems perfect in kind of the McCaleb, Corey Grant role. I think he could be that guy. And I think Schwartz could be, you know, that guy too. But I think Shivers especially could be McCaleb, and Schwartz could be more like a, you know, like some of the super fast receivers we've had in the past where we could just have him on the go route. And pull the defense deeper down the field.
They moved Devin Barrett to slot, didn't they?
Yeah. That's why he's the natural for the Stove thing, where he could easily come on the end around. He could be the guy in motion, I expect, a lot.
Yeah. It's just so funny.
The fake end around is there every play.
Every play.
And if not the end around, then he's there for a dump off instead of.
And it's funny, too, because we said last year that was the only play he ran, remember? I mean, the only thing he ever did was just catch a flare pass in the flat. So he might as well be out there. The only difference is he's just lining up there instead of running out there every time the ball is snapped. It just saves him a few steps, basically. He'll be a little less tired when he catches the ball. That's about it, so. Okay, what else?
All right, next email is from Theodore Roosevelt. He emailed us at auwishbone@gmail.com. And he says, he agrees with me. He says, I think Missouri is vastly underrated. They have a stellar offense and a defense with the talent to be good. They have a tough four-game stretch where they play Georgia at home, South Carolina and Alabama away, then Memphis at home. If they get through the stretch with two wins, I could definitely see them winning 9 or 10 games.
I like how you sucked me in, by the way. I'm talking up Missouri, and then you're like, oh, no, their schedule and everything, blah, blah. So I start deducting wins from them, and then you go, oh, 9-3. I'm like, son of a – or 8-4, whatever you said. So you totally suckered me in and bluffed me on that one. You should be playing poker.
I think that – I mean, again, if they had a better schedule, if they had the schedule that, you know, South Carolina or some of these other teams had – I think they clearly would be the second team in the East to me, but they don't. I mean, they have a tougher schedule, so I think that's the big problem for them. And you know, the danger is, you know, you play like Georgia and South Carolina back to back, you're going to be beat up when you go in that South Carolina game. It makes it harder to win. So that'll be the challenge. You know, can they keep the quarterback healthy and upright? You know, can they stop other teams from rolling up down the field and then like Auburn did and a lot of other teams did last year? I don't know.
We'll see. All right.
That's it for questions.
All right. I think that's going to bring us in for a landing for tonight. That is your That is your...
Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage.
SEC East Barbecue Preview Special. It is done and dusted with barbecue dusting sauce and in the books, and it is done. And so John and I will now take a week off. I think you have your vacation coming up, and I'll be slaving away on the documentary and doing some more interviews. And then on 2 weeks from tonight, we will sit down to do the big one, the biggest show we do every year, the SEC West and Auburn Barbecue Preview Special. I'm already ready to eat that barbecue, John. We're going to go to you're going to get where are you saying you're getting yours from?
There's a place in Richmond called ZZQ, which is it's a Texas-style barbecue place. And, I don't think this was all that, but the Food and Wine did a thing where they had the top-rated barbecue places in each state, and it was the number one rated barbecue place in Virginia.
There you go. We're going to do the something like – oh, Sugar Fire. Yeah, Sugar Fire. It's really, really good. It's one of those places where you have like a cafeteria line and they put it on your tray. They flop it down on a tray, man, and it's so good. That's They've got cheese grits. They got potato casserole. Oh, it's so good. All right, so our time is up, and we thank you for yours. And War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
So what becomes of you, my love? When they have finally stripped you off, the handbags and the glad rags that your granddad had to sweat so you could buy.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Excuse me, did you call number 52?
Did you hear me call number 52?
Go to bed.